This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Geek Squawks. My name is Jess Andu, together with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage. A lot of us would have watched Game of Thrones. Matt, do you watch Game of Thrones, Matt? I've never asked you this before, but...
I mean, I'm actually watching the episodes back again. So I'm watching the new series now, and I think I'm up to season 3 or 4 right. Watching them back. And obviously, it's not the topic of what we're talking about today, but you suddenly see once you watch them back that Arya is central to nearly every plot line. She just appears, you know, you tend to think of her as this kind of bystander.
Yeah. She's just a kid.
Because she's just a kid. Yeah. But now, when you watch the arc all in one go, you're like, oh my gosh, she's there. Yeah. She's there. She's at all of these major intersection points.
An interesting development of her character as well, and how she's grown and going through her training stuff. But then again, this is a tech show. It's not a movie show. We nearly went into a movie review show with earlier on with MSP. And the reason why we're talking about Game of Thrones is because many of us would have watched the recent episode. And don't worry, there is no spoilers in this show. What we want to talk about is just that the amount of people who complained, and even I myself, when I watched it was literally just watching a black screen for the entire 90 plus minutes, because it is a battle in winter, and there is a fog and there's snow, and it's called the Long Night.
Yeah,
so you would expect it to just be dark.
I mean, it basically looked like a battle between good and evil in a dark cupboard.
So I have, I've kind of like printed out the whole article that is on, on TechCrunch. And, on the front of it is, on my laptop, I could sort of view what they're trying to say here. But on the print, it's just basically a black box.
Oh, okay. So the same thing. So the pictures haven't printed out.
Yeah. And this is actually a huge problem. Why is this happening? Is because streaming services haven't been able to, caught up with the production value that goes into these kind of movies. So my issue of watching the recent Game of Thrones, or even if I were to stream the Lord of the Rings, the Two Towers, that battle of Helm's Deep, right? It would be the same issue. I would just be seeing black, and then in between, I would see this really weird cloud-like kind of shapes that goes around. But it's not clouds. It's just that it can't render black, or the gradients of black.
Yes.
And that's what you would just see. You would just see black, and you're squinting, trying to make up I'm supposed to watch.
And here, you see the weird banding that goes across the screen as well, that looks like lines kind of flowing across as the camera pans.
Yeah. And obviously, if you were watching it on Blu-ray, it would be a different story altogether. Mm. And this is the reason, because of compression factor. A lot of these things have to be sent over the internet. And, let's face it, many of us don't have the bandwidth or the internet speeds to be able to stream like a full terabyte.
Well, none of us do.
I mean,
it would be, a single episode, and a single episode would be more than a terabyte.
Yeah,
so you would have to be buffering. I think they said it was
200 megabytes
per second.
And a lot of people,
it's just not possible.
And a lot of people will say, like, hang on a minute, I do have a 200 Mbps. That's a 200 megabit. Like, it's different from a megabyte. And if you want to have a 200 megabyte, that's just an insane internet speed. And even then, it would take you a long time to sort of stream the entire thing. But compression is an issue, and we haven't sort of figured it out, like how to go about this, because there's also codec. So it's compressed to send across it to you, and then you have to decompress it in order for you to stream.
Yeah.
And that's also another issue, because decompression can't really read colors and all this kind of...
Well, not just that. I mean, you're actually losing data from the original source. So, for example, one of my friends popped up on Facebook and said, well, you can just turn the brightness up on your TV. And you can't, because the information actually isn't there. So, you still won't get any more detail. You'll get it slightly brighter, but there won't be any more detail there, because the detail hasn't been carried by the file.
Yeah.
And the writer of this post even speculates that due to the length of that particular episode, which I think is 82 minutes, which is very, very long, and the number of people downloading it in a very short space of time, it's quite possible that HBO, even increase the compression to reduce the file size as much as possible. Obviously, we don't know if that's true, but
yeah,
it would make sense, because the other issue is not just about us having the bandwidth to download these things. It costs the provider a lot more money to stream it at that very high bandwidth. So you would be looking at, I don't know, by a factor of I don't know how many hundred increasing HBO's data costs.
Yeah, that's actually very true, because, you know, it also relies on HBO to be able to fund, if they were to, you know, send out a gigabyte of file, most likely it's just in megabytes. It's in the high hundreds of megabytes for the entire episode.
Yeah.
I bet you it won't be, you know, the 5-6 gigabytes of streaming, because that's just not what everyone could be able to stream. Like, I don't think that's even possible.
It's also one of these weird things that because Game of Thrones is shot like a movie, it's shot in this fabulous high definition. So of course it looks rubbish when you stream it, but when you watch a show on Netflix like Black September that came out recently, another like zombie horror type thing, which was very, very low budget, but that looked fantastic because, you know, it was shot very simply. There wasn't a lot of data to lose. And of course, most of it's shot during the day, which is much easier as well.
Yeah. And also, you mentioned about banding. A lot of people will be like having a question mark. It's like, what is banding? Banding is where it render large stripes of colors as codecs. So it goes from like darkest dark blue, darker dark blue, and to dark blue, and there's no in between. And that's the issue, because blacks have so many different variants that our naked eye will make up for it. We know we will see the difference in colors, but when it goes to digital form, it can't really tell. And then it looks weird when we're looking at it, because our eyes can't comprehend why is there such a change from gray to black.
Yeah, because we're noticing those big transitions, but our brains aren't actually able to replace those colors in time. So it becomes very, very jarring.
Yeah, so there are a few tips that you can sort of do in order to, you know, have a better experience of watching this kind of thing.
The first of which is to go and stand on the Game of Thrones set and watch them filming the episode.
Right, itself.
That's where you get the best and most cinematic experience.
I tell you, we give you really good examples and tips of how to live a better life. Also, you know, TVs. Yesterday, I went down to a shopping mall and I noticed a lot of 4K UHD TVs are actually pretty affordable right now, right? Like, you could get a 65-inch curved or like one of those wall-mounted TVs with very thin bezels for like 3,500 ringgit. And I thought, man, that's actually a pretty good deal. So get one of those really good TVs, set them up properly, which we all don't do it enough.
Yeah.
And then get a Blu-ray player and wait for the Blu-ray to come out.
Yeah, because having that 4K TV, if you're just streaming, you're still going to get the rubbish picture. It's not going to help you.
It's not going to help you, sir. Yeah, stop complaining about, like, you know, I can't see anything. It's absolutely rubbish. And, like, that is just how it is with the current streaming solutions. And until the day we get faster internet connections, better bandwidth, that's the time when, and also cheaper as well, because it's going to cost HBO a lot of money
or
to stream this down.
The other alternative is stream the Michel Gondry movie Be Kind Rewind and start acting out your own versions of Game of Thrones. You'll enjoy it so much more.
Something to do for the weekend. We give you a lot of tips on the show. When we come back, we'll talk a bit about gaming, and also there will be one sort of May the 4th be with you stories, but it's not a happy ending story. So stay tuned.
BFM. Yay!
89.9.
Bloggers for Malaysia. BFM 89.9.
And we're back. It's Geek Squawks. My name is Jeff Sandu, together with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage. Let's talk about gaming. I know you're not a fan of gaming, Matt.
Well, it's not that I'm not a fan. It's just I'm not allowed.
So there is a plus side to gaming that I honestly never thought this could actually be true. But now that I've read it and I looked at it, I go like, oh my God, this is actually pretty genius. And it's also really interesting because I play these kind of games. So it's called Sea Hero Quest. It's a game developed in partnership with Germany's Deutsche Telekom, the game studio Glitches, and several European universities. And it's designed to identify individuals who might have earlier or mild symptoms of dementia that medical tests aren't able to detect. So most of us would think Alzheimer's disease is, you know, an illness that ruins a person's memory. But while memory problems are very common and severe with Alzheimer's disease, they are actually late-stage symptoms.
Yeah, you can have a lot of symptoms when you're much, much younger. Or rather, they're not even symptoms. You don't notice them. Things like spatial awareness. Mm-hmm. Can you get around? Manual dexterity. Do you drop things? Do you forget words? Apparently, one of the telltale signs is having really bad spelling. Although for a lot of people, that one's going to be difficult to difficult to show. But yeah, you don't see the mistakes
hard.
You make.
Yeah. So researchers and doctors, they want to catch this disease as early as possible before the memory loss occurs, so it could give future treatments and the better chance of it of working. So See Hero Quest is a game that was built to identify people who might be at risk with Alzheimer's, but who aren't just suffering with any major symptoms of the disease yet. It's a VR game, and players have to navigate and control a virtual boat. They are given a map and shown checkpoints, and then the map is kind of taken away, and you just have to recall what you saw and navigate these checkpoints in a game of, like, you know, a world without a map, just like in real life. And researchers, according to the researchers, every 2 minutes spent playing the game is equal to about 5 hours of lab-based research. And researchers involved with the project studied the people who carried this APOE4 gene, which is thought to increase the person's risk of developing dementia, as they played the game. And then they compared the results of people who don't have that genes, and they found that people have a high genetic risk, the APOE4 carries, perform worse on spatial navigation tasks. They took the less efficient routes to checkpoint goals and, you know, one of all those kind of things that would probably lead to an Alzheimer's disease. So early detection.
Yeah,
using games.
It's one of those things that scares the living daylights out of me, because I don't think I would score very highly on that test.
Can you just imagine, like, they make you memorize a map on how to navigate the world and the checkpoints, and then
I can't
they
navigate,
take it away?
I can't navigate with the map.
I have horrible memory when it comes to things like this.
Exactly.
So I, you know, even playing any games, I will have to refer to the walkthrough.
Right, exactly.
And I'll read it, but then I'll forget it instantly.
left, right, and straight are about as good as I can manage with directions. As for wiggling between islands, no.
Yeah, so using this data from thousands of players who downloaded and played Sea Hero Quest, they are actually now able to create a baseline for their test results.
I think it's millions of players now. I think it's 3.5 million people have played the game now. So I think they said it was the equivalent of 1,700 years worth of laboratory testing.
There you go. All games should be a test for, you know, some health or medical purposes.
Well, they will be with Google's new streaming platform.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let's do King of Culture before we go on to May the 4th.
Yeah, now normally I'll recommend, if it's a podcast, for example, I'll recommend the whole podcast. But this time I'm recommending a specific episode of a podcast. Not that you shouldn't listen to the podcast, because it's really good.
It's just making your life easier.
Yeah. It's an NPR podcast. It's called Planet Money. Mm-hmm. And it takes a kind of more personal look at the way money works. So it'll look at things like the effects of gentrification on various boroughs in New York, Queens, or whatever.
Yeah.
This particular episode is about the prevalence of dollar stores in a lot of underprivileged towns and cities in the US, and the fact that the presence of those dollar stores means that the inhabitants can't get fresh fruit and vegetables. So there's no big grocery store or big supermarket anywhere near. And one of the reasons for that is because the dollar stores sell a lot of food, but they tend not to sell a lot of fresh produce because the margins on that are much smaller and there's a lot more wastage. So when grocery chains look at an area, they look at the number of dollar stores and may make a decision not to come in. So it's about a public health official who fights against the dollar stores, who actually tries to or manages to introduce a kind of city ordinance that prevents dollar stores from opening in such close proximity to each other and makes it more attractive for grocery stores to come in. So I think she's actually stood for local government, again, with the public health background. But her platform is simply to bring grocery stores to the people in her neighborhood. And I know it sounds a bit weird, but it's a fascinating podcast, and it gives you an insight into how a lot of these big companies operate, because even the dollar stores are massive nationwide chains. Yeah. So it's just about these chains up against each other and kind of fighting for dominance. And again, we're the ones who lose out. We're the ones who don't have access to proper fresh food as a result.
So NPR's Planet Money podcast, the episode is
Dollars versus Lettuce.
Nice. Now, tomorrow is May the 4th and is, you know, the Star Wars Day. We don't have anything Star Wars related because we are really struggling to pick any story that will bring some fresh new perspective about May the 4th. But as...
Oh, did you know about Luke Skywalker?
Anyways, as scientists, they are working through an exercise simulating an imminent asteroid impact with Earth. NASA Administrator Jim Bridenstine, he warned that we need to take the real world threat seriously. He acknowledged the giggle factor when we talk about, you know, an asteroid may actually hit Earth. But the dismissive response of the topic has met with in the past, and also the start of his keynote remarks on Monday at the International Academy of Astronautics Planetary Defense Conference. He said that we actually have to make sure that people understand about this, and it's not just about Hollywoods, it's not just about movies. It's actually about protecting the only planet we know right now to host life, and that is planet Earth.
Yeah, and we literally have to hope that any asteroid strikes in a place where it won't cause a lot of damage. I think... There was obviously the one in Russia in 2013, something like that, and that exploded in the atmosphere. That didn't cause a lot of like major damage. It broke a lot of windows, damaged quite a lot of buildings, but it wasn't catastrophic. The asteroid strike in Siberia in the early 20th century, which fortunately was in the wilderness, was catastrophic. Yeah. I mean, it leveled entire forests. It hit with the impact of... you know, a lot of nuclear bombs. It could even have been the plot of an episode of The 100, for all we know. But we do have to bear in mind, yes, this will happen. And if something like that happens, especially in an ocean off the coast of in a relatively shallow part of the ocean as well, that could create an absolutely awful tidal wave that would cause immense damage. Yeah.
And these asteroids that have hit Earth before, one is they're not actually rare. They do actually happen quite often, but they're really small and tiny. But what if the one day you have an asteroid that's about like 140 meters or larger, it would actually wipe out an entire country?
Country or civilization or anything. I mean, it's that thing, you know, you're staring up at the sky at night, you're looking at the shooting stars going, isn't that pretty? And then the shooting star just keeps tumbling towards you.
Well, it could also be the Death Star, because the Death Star is pretty big. It's a star, right? So, you know, if that actually is coming to hit Earth, I think we're all doomed.
Or maybe we just build a Death Star around the planet and, you know, we just laser zap anything out of existence.
Exactly. This is the real show, and we give you really good examples of how to survive.
Life tips with Matt and Jeff.
Life tips. Let's talk about Geek Tunes. What do we have for this week?
We have one of my favorite psychedelic bands, King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. They've got a new album out, and this is one of the singles trailing that release. This is called This Thing.
Also, May the 4th be with you for tomorrow. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.